Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And there's more trouble for the Electricity Company of Ghana tonight. The Public Utilities Regulatory Commission has again cited the ECG for violating the cash waterfall mechanism. The PULC, in its latest cash waterfall mechanism validation report for February 2024 payment, indicates that the ECG has not accounted for some 77 million Ghana cedis under the system. It says the ECG paid only 240 million out of the over 300 million cedis allocated to Level B beneficiaries under the CWM. My colleague James Avaji joins me in the studio with details of this report. First, let's start with how much a PRLC says the ECG owes under the cash waterfall mechanism.
Yes, Evan. So according to their document released on the ECG's compliance to PRLC's directive, on April 15, 2024, the ECG owes some 446,283,000 Ghana cedis as shortfalls between the period of August 23 and February 2024, according to the PURC.
Now, let's go to the latest report that we're now reading for February. How much did the ECG pay to the IPPs?
So that report focused on the cash waterfall mechanism compliance for, December. Although the report is covering February, according to the PURC, total revenue generated by the ECG for the month of February amount to some 836,787,000 Ghana cedis as of February. Now, they were using that February revenue to pay for the December 2023 monies they were supposed to pay for to the IPPs as well as the Level B beneficiaries. Now, according to the cash waterfall structure, they were supposed to pay some 323,951,000 Ghana cedis to what they call Level B beneficiaries, and Level A beneficiaries consist of the six IPPs. They were supposed to pay some 512,835,000 Ghana cedis to the Level A beneficiaries, which is the IPP. Now, according to the formula, every month they were supposed to give them some $43 million, which is translating to some 500 million Ghana cedis. That particular one, the ECG, according to the PURC, says they have complied with that to the latter.
What about the SOEs captured under Level B?
The level B, which were supposed to take some over 300 million Ghana cedis, that is where the problem is, because according to the report, ECG has been able to pay only 246,941,589 Ghana cedis to them. Now, according to the structure, they were supposed to pay 323,951,000 Ghana cedis to them, but they paid only over 200 million Ghana cedis. When you take that out of it, the ECG could not account for the 77 million Ghana cedis that was supposed to be part of the monies that they were supposed to pay the level B. What is interesting in that breakdown is that from all the, the state agencies, as well as the VRA, BIPA, as well as GRIDCO and others that was captured under that, the ECG hasn't been able to pay any of them fully. In fact, ELIPA, which was supposed to take some 5 million Ghana cedis from the ECG did not pay them even a cedi. But the interesting thing was that the ECG paid itself some 65,941,000 Ghana cedis, which is total payment of what they were supposed to take under that formula, which is some 20.36% of the total money. So apart from the ECG, all other institutions captured under the level B have not been paid fully, according to the PRC report.
But government itself is also complicit in this, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because the PRC also details how much government also owes the level B beneficiaries.
Exactly. So within the period, the PRC says that the government, through the Ministry of Finance, was supposed to release some total of 197,112,000 Ghana cedis to the cash waterfall mechanism that would trickle down to the level B beneficiaries under the CWM. But as we speak, government has not been able to release even a CD to the cash waterfall mechanism to pay these people. And so, as we speak, government is still owing over 197 million Ghana cedis under the cash waterfall mechanism. Now, this is the conclusion of the PURC after this report. They say that the commission, quote, has validated payment and receipt of all stakeholders along the energy value chain. Since August 2023, ECG has not complied with the guidelines of the new cash waterfall mechanism as directed by the president. This defeats the principle of fair and equitable revenue allocation to sector players under the level B, as approved by the CWM Standing Committee, in line with the revised CWM guidelines. Now, the commission wishes to state that ECG should cooperate and allow the cash waterfall mechanism function as directed by the president. In addition, the Ministry of Finance should also take the necessary step to honor its obligation by paying for the shortfalls, which is over 190 million Ghana cedis. Evans,
and it's no surprise that you hear a lot of numbers being bandied about.
Exactly.
The PRC, how much is owed, government owes, ECG also owes.
Mm.
Many have said it is a financial challenge.
Mm.
That's why you're sleeping in darkness and may do so again tonight. Well, listen, you want to join us at 6 p.m., which is just 20 minutes away, because you're bringing the stakeholders together in one room to have a national dialogue on guaranteeing reliable power supply. This is the Joy News National Dialogue. It's going to kickstart from our brand new studios just 20 minutes away from now. You don't want to miss it for anything. Now, talking about this back and forth between the PRC and the ECG, and we've also seen GRIDCO also has been dragged into this at a time when they've had to write to the energy minister to complain about what they allege to be ECG's refusal to comply with load management directives to put us all off. ECG has also rebutted and written back, strongly worded indeed, rejecting the accusations. We're now learning the president is getting involved, trying to get some resolution to this, because bottom line, people are sleeping in darkness, and this bickering and, you know, infighting among the energy sector players is in helping. I want to bring in my colleague, Elton Brobe. He's been working his sources. He's the presidential affairs correspondent. Elton, what do we know?
So, Evans, what we do know is that the presidency, and indeed, let me just narrow it down to the president, from what I picked this morning, wasn't really happy with the way things are being contested in the public domain. First of all, the president, according to my source, was unhappy. That's why his intervention, when this matter first came up, there appears to be still bad blood between the GRIDCO on one side, PRC, and of course the ECG. But more importantly, there appears to be some misunderstanding between PRC and ECG. And instead of resolving this matter within the corporate circle, they've taken it to the public domain, making it look like a public contest as to who is more culpable in terms of dealing with the erratic power supply. My information is that both parties were given the opportunity to respond to the concerns of the president. Now, what I picked from the meeting is that GRIDCO, PRC, was unhappy that they've been shown so much disrespect by ECG. The way ECG had carried out, you know, in terms of responding to the many demands that were made on them by the PRC in their earlier orders, that ECG was expected to provide some answers. According to my sources, either the answers didn't come on time, or disrespectfully, it didn't come at all. And this PRC found unacceptable, and they made this position very forceful before the president. ECG also provided their reasons why they had to go the way they did. Now, my information is that ECG was directed to respond to the latest demand from the PRC. And they make it quite clear that they will be demanding that PRC withdraw the letter, demanding some payment of money imposed on the board of directors of the ECG, including the managing director, Samuel Mahama. They make the point that PRC may not have the mandate to go that way. And for that reason, they will be demanding total withdrawal of that communication, which is already in the public domain. And then the two bodies can sit down to resolve their differences. With the issue of the doomsome time to my province, it came up quite strongly. The president was unhappy that instead of them working together to present a united front and comfort to the Ghanaian people as bodies working to resolve this, they are rather fighting, fueling, you know, perception in the public domain that government is helpless as far as this matter is concerned. So in the coming days, my information is that ECG will respond officially, and they will make the point that they will not be able to honor the demands of PRC, and may even go further to say that to demand a retraction of the directive by PRC, demanding that they pay certain money, pay upon which they may be all before court for prosecution. This is what we speak after the meeting yesterday.
And there's a lot happening, Elting, stay with me, because what you're picking up is happening just after we had the president yesterday, for the very first time, acknowledged the crisis that we are currently dealing with when it comes to the erratic power supply. This is the president yesterday.
In the areas of power generation, transmission, my government has made and continues to make significant investments towards the provision of reliable and competitively priced electricity to assure economic growth. This is part of our commitment to realizing the 2030 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I do acknowledge Regional Minister, Minister for Energy, ladies and gentlemen, and Nananum, the challenges that the people of Ashanti and indeed of other parts of the country have had to endure in very recent times over the supply of power. And I can only thank you for the patience you have exhibited in the face of these challenges.
And that is a president to all of us facing this particular challenge, sleeping in darkness. And we've seen already in our Doomsday Diaries, many of you businesses, individuals sharing with us your own diary when it comes to the struggles that you've had to endure because of the erratic power supply, sleeping in darkness for hours. And Elting, it appears that this is hitting the president pretty hard, and he's now having to step in himself. And it's no wonder that he took this opportunity when the people around him appear to be denying it, to acknowledge it and thank the Ghanaian people.
Yes, Evan. So, I mean, basically, but the communication around this within government circles is that this is giving the government a bad image, clearly, because doing so is not something that they even want to discuss. And even as they want to dismiss it as not happening, it is happening, and people are feeling it. So the concern from what I pick from the presidency is that instead of these bodies working together to present a semblance of, you know, fixing the problem, they are rather, you know, projecting their own parochial interests as to who is to be blamed and who is not. There is even an issue of some fools that have been purchased. And from what I pick from the meeting, the claim is that the ECG may have gone out of their own way to bring in fuel consignments without recourse to some of the relevant bodies, including the ministry. And the ministry was not happy that ECG, for example, overstepped its bounds in this particular matter. Some claims were made. Some people at the meeting demanded evidence of this. So even in the presence of the president, clearly the disagreement was quite high. But the takeaway from what I think was that all these matters must be resolved, whichever way it is. And once the PLC matter is in the public domain, it will be good for ECG's response to also come in the public domain. And they insist that it will be asking the PLC to withdraw this letter, to withdraw this directive, to withdraw this threat, because they don't have the mandate to even impose financial sanctions on the board of directors of the ECG. And they're also insisting that if even they are to be blamed for the non-release of the doomsday timetable, the claim from ECG is that they take the power from a source. And for that reason, the source should rather be the one to be investigated on this matter and not them as the one that is interfacing with the general public.
Elton, thank you very much. And that's one that we've had to before, that all the agencies are pointing accusing fingers at each other. You are to blame, or this other agency is to blame. Elton there with exclusive details from that meeting that happened at the presidency, chaired by the president himself. Well, today, the minority on the Energy Committee, they've been weighing into this pretty strongly, demanding strong sanctions against officials at the ECG. Listen to Edward.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bawa, who is a minority member on that committee.
If we're living in a very serious country, Samuel Dubik should not have a job today. He shouldn't have a job today. If we're living in a very serious country, the board members of ECG should have all been fired. But you see, we are not living in normal times. We're living in a place in a country where the breaking of laws can be done in a very with so much impunity.
Financial implications imposed on them. Is that not punishment enough for you?
The financial implication is not a substitute for the punishment for being incompetent. Mm. The companies have lost money as a result of this. Ghanaians have suffered, because remember, there's a social contract between the producers, the utilities, and consumers. Consumers are not getting the best service, even though they pay for their bills. They are saying that even if I'm not getting the best service, the law says that if you're not going to give me power, tell me within 3 days, that at least I should have 3 days notice to tell me that I am not going to get power on the third day, that I'm not going to get power. Mm. You have not abided by those ones. That is what they are punishing them for. But I'm saying that beyond just bridging the laws, I am saying that ECG, the board and the board that includes the MP, should be packing their bags and leaving their office, because this document is scandalous. It is something that is unacceptable. And if we're living in a very serious country, Samuel Dubik should have signed his resignation letter and then as he save the small, respect he has left for himself.
And if they don't, you expect the appointed authority to act?
I will continuously raise the issue that they must go. They have lost the right to occupy those offices and they must leave the office. What kind of indiscipline is this? President Akufo-Addo checked out many, many months ago as being the president of this country. So he can't be bothered as to what is happening. I am really irritated by the fact that this is a sector that we were struggling to see how we could bring it back to normalcy, to ensure that we can have reliable and affordable electricity supply to Ghanaians, devoid of debt and stress. What these people have done under President Akufo-Addo is to mess up the sector. And they have now appointed people who simply cannot be bothered about whether the country has a viable power sector or not. They can't be bothered because in their houses, they can put...
And that there's Edward Bauer. Edward Bauer is a minority member on that energy committee. Let's stay with the issues surrounding the electricity supply a while longer. As you know, this week we broke that story involving the Ashanti East regional manager who was arrested and subsequently granted bail. The ECG staff there have also issued their own statement tonight on this. We heard from the National Union, that is the Public Utilities Workers Union, in their own statement condemning that particular incident. Well, today the Ashanti Regional Staff Association have also come together and they are making even stronger demands of the regional minister. They accuse of masterminding the arrest of the regional general manager. And Avaji still with me with a statement that they issued. We are learning a bit more from this particular statement from the Ashanti Regional ECG staff. First, we now know that this general manager in question, Mark Wiafia Sumeni, was arrested at the Entikking. He was informally charged and had to write down a statement and formally declared arrested and then subsequently granted bail. And this happened at the Zongo police station. And we now know they also tell us that prior to that incident where he was asked to come to the police station, there had been a call placed to him, they say, by the regional minister, and in which they claim that threatening language was used on him. What are they asking for tonight?
Evans, they are asking two key things. One, for the regional minister to render an unqualified apology to the regional manager of the ECG and the entire ECG as a whole. Two, for him to withdraw the case at the police station, which you mentioned earlier, the charges pressed against the regional manager. He should withdraw the case from the police station by Tuesday, 23rd April 2024. Now, if that is not done to the fullest, what they are saying is that they would take to some action. First is to hoist red flags and be in red on Wednesday, 24th April 2024. The message is that they are disappointed in the act of the regional minister, stating that he need to know that the ECG does not take or report to him, and so he needed to exercise caution on his actions towards the ECG manager as well as the entire institution. And so that's what they are demanding to him to do as far as this case is concerned. Failure, they will take to some industrial actions.
Let's bring in the National Vice Chairman of the ECG Senior Staff Union, Bismarck Adoma, joins us on the phone now. Bismarck, thanks for your time here on Top Story.
Good evening.
I noticed in your statement that you say, quote, as a first step in registering your displeasure, you hoist red flags. Do you understand that to mean that if you don't get the apology that you asked for, you would proceed with further industrial action beyond just hoisting flags?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a roadmap? And what does that look like?
Yes, we have the roadmap.
What does that look like?
When we get there, when we get to the bridge, we'll cross it. Hope he will do that by 2030 so that all that we are saying will not come on. But if you don't do it, we will start 24th. From there, we will go ahead.
So this is an ultimatum to the regional minister you've given him?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard from him directly since this happened?
No, we have not heard from him.
Nobody has sent any word to him about your formal displeasure?
Nothing. We've not heard anything. You only go on air and see that he directed that he should be arrested, and without even giving a small power to also come out with the apology from him. If you fail, then we also take an action.
But I'm curious, since this happened, when this happened on Friday, from what I understand, then the original manager went to the police station, and we were told that he was asked to return to the police station. Has he since returned to the police station, maybe on Monday or since Friday?
So he has an assignment in Accra, so he has been in Accra throughout the week.
You are asking the regional minister to discontinue the case, to withdraw the case from the police station?
Yes, sir.
And has he got lawyers now? I know the union, you provide lawyers for your clients, your members. From what you know so far, is the police pursuing this matter? Or it seems, since you wrote down his statement, there hasn't been any further movement on this?
I've not heard anything, but the case is still, as far as the case has not been withdrawn, meaning the case is pending.
Among the staff there, this is the second statement that we've seen. The national leadership of the Public Utilities Workers Union issued a statement. I believe this was on Monday. I mean, why the need for another statement? Wasn't that enough?
After the statement, we heard that on another media house that the minister went ahead to say that he ordered him to be arrested. And you see that it's becoming something of becoming of him. That's why we decided to issue that statement.
Well, thank you very much, Bismarck. And Bismarck there is a national vice chairman of the ECG Senior Staff Union in the Ashanti region. And this is turning out to become a standoff between the ECG staff there and the regional minister. They've given him up until the 23rd of April to apologize and withdraw the case. If he doesn't do so, they will hoist red flags. This is a first step in a series of industrial actions they plan to take. Listen, it's just 2 minutes away, and we'll be connecting to the Joy News studio for the national dialogue on guaranteeing reliable power supply. You really do not want to miss this. If you miss it, then Doomsaw isn't affecting you. Join us across our many social media platforms. It's also going to be here live on Joy 99.7 FM.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.